Good afternoon, folks. My name is Bob Anderson here at the Historic Palace Restaurant and Saloon. Welcome to the Mile High Show and the MileHighShow.com.
It's same old tune, feel like it's all. Where do we take it from here? We'll rhinestone shoes, new shiny cars. Been the same way for years. We need a change.
Thank you for tuning in. My name is Matt Santos, and this is the Mile High Show. It is our debut episode. We are an arts and entertainment podcast coming out of Prescott, Arizona. And let's just get right to the show. Today's guests are Danny Romero and Sky Daddy Conwell. The two make up the Arizona Territory Duo, a rock, country, and hillbilly band based out of Prescott, the Prescott area. Today's episode was recorded at the famed Palace Saloon on Prescott's Whiskey Row. It's a great venue to hear some local music. We have some great cowboy poetry readings up here, and it's also a fabulous restaurant. So if you're up in the Prescott area, come on by and check out the Palace on Whiskey Row, and let's just get right to it. Let's listen to the Arizona Territory Duo featuring Sky Daddy Conwell and Danny Romero on the Mile High Show.
Tell us who you guys are.
Go ahead, Sky. All right, my name is Sky. Sky Conwell. They call me Sky Daddy. That's who I am.
Yeah, they do. That's who he is. Danny Romero here, Sky Daddy. We formed our Arizona Territory band, I don't know, what, 15, 12 years ago, something like that. And it's kind of condensed itself majority of the time down to a duo, an acoustic duo, and Sky and I stay extremely busy with it, that's for sure.
It sounds like it. Before we hit record on these, you guys are going over some calendar dates, and it sounds like you got a pretty packed schedule. Before we get too much into the duo and Arizona Territory as a band, give me a little background. Sky, we were talking, are you an Arizona native?
Yes, sir.
And where did you grow up?
I was born in Scottsdale, Arizona. And that's where I grew up. And Cocoa Paw Middle School and Chaparral High School. I went to Grand Canyon University. I got a degree in education. And I was a school teacher for 15 years.
Now,
music was always a hobby, you know, on the side.
Now, you taught music and math.
And math.
Is that what you said?
Math was my main subject. That was what I mostly taught. And then the last couple years of teaching, they wanted me to teach music.
Now, watching you both and you, Sky, perform at all the local places around here. You bounce back and forth between Prescott and the Phoenix Valley area. You definitely have a strong personality. You got a style.
Thank you, man.
You've got a look.
Thank you.
Both of you guys do. I was saying in that little preview we did last week, you guys are both the real deal. Now, that's not the case with a lot of guys around. You know, you see them playing and it's almost like they don a costume before they take the stage, and that's not the case with you guys. What were you like? What was
that's
your
true.
Style when you were standing in Woods of High School that
yeah,
you taught?
Right.
What was your style? Was it similar to now? Have you always had this Sky Daddy?
My first year teaching, I wore a tie. Isn't that crazy? I dressed up like a business guy my first year teaching, but that wasn't me. I'm
so
more
that was the persona for teaching. You let the real Sky come through after a while.
I think so. The kid, if you would interview some of my students, I think you'll find that I was laid back. I spoke on the kids' levels. I didn't try to intimidate them, you know, because math can be pretty intimidating. You use all these big college words, and I just every once in a while I got to expose them to some of these words. But most I say that's just, you know, I bring it to their level. I bring in my guitar sometimes. I would explain it step by step, I kind of brought it down to their level. So almost all the students, if you kind of run into them, they'll say that they learned a whole lot and I was a good teacher.
Now, I personally love music, can't play a note, can't sing a note. I love to observe it, listen to it, and enjoy it. But as a musician, From what I understand, there's a lot of math involved in learning and playing and reading music. Is that correct?
Oh, it's totally correct. Music is math. It's all patterns and numbers, and it's all math. I mean, if you look at it, if you look at the waves and all this stuff, it's all makes sense organically. And I think that's why I was drawn to music and math, because they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, music is art and creativity, and math is all logical. But I think that I have equally balanced side of my brain. I'm side A and B side of my brain. And so it makes sense that I have math and music, and I can see the connection.
And Danny, how about you? When did you give us a little bit about your background, your history?
Well, like Sky, I'm a native to Arizona also. I was born in Kingman, and I was raised in the Mojave Desert, Bullhead City, along the Colorado. So I'm definitely a desert rat and a river rat. But I left Bullhead long ago and went to college in Phoenix. And I came to Prescott about 15 years ago. And, you know, I taught myself how to play music. When I didn't pick up a guitar until I think I was about 25 years old.
Really?
Yeah. I started very, very late. And I got bored with playing chords, so I started to sing. And then I got bored with singing and playing chords to myself, so I started a band. And here we are.
Now, how'd you guys meet?
Well, I had a band in... Well, it's not necessarily true. I moved up here in pretty much 2001, the very beginning of one. And I was trying to start something. I came up from Phoenix at that point because I went to college down there.
And, college boys.
And,
I feel uneducated.
Right.
I went through college. I just didn't get any on me.
Well, I had met a bass player who I was auditioning for my band. And he knew Sky. And Sky and this bass player and a drummer of ours, we all got together. And it really started there, and we realized that we had a lot in common, even though, you know, I'm a cowpuncher and he's a total rockabilly. You know, I grew up on rockabilly music. I grew up my dad's music in the 50s and 60s, you know what I mean? So, I love playing that kind of stuff. So, immediately, Sky and I connected. And he, excuse me, you know, me being the cowpuncher of us, and being country, Sky connects with that too, because yeah. Sky's definitely country all the way through in his own right.
I grew up country. I remember as a kid, listening to Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. They were my favorites before I even discovered Jerry Lee Lewis. But also, you know, rockabilly, it's rock mixed with hillbilly music. Yeah. That's what it is. It's hillbilly's part of the thing.
When I was listening to you play over at Brick and Bones, let me back up a little bit. We want to let everybody know where we are. We're at the historic Palace Saloon.
Beautiful.
It's a gorgeous room. It's a gorgeous venue to listen to some music and also to get some good food and some good drink.
Most historic saloons.
That's correct. USA Today put that up a couple months ago, and it made everybody here in Prescott proud. This is a historic Whiskey Row, and for those of you that don't know Whiskey Row, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a row of bars that serve lots of whiskey. Now, I was listening to Sky play a few weeks back over at Brick and Bones, which is another venue down here that both Danny and Sky play at really regular. And you said something from stage that I got a kick out of. Surfabilly.
Yeah.
That's right. One of the descriptions of your music.
You're talking about when I was playing with my rockabilly surf band.
Yeah. Now, the style of music, you're mashing together some, what do we have in there, the Munsters? We had some.
Yes.
Some
I played the Munsters
Ventures.
Theme. Yeah.
Who else are your influences on that end of the spectrum?
Dick Dale. Beach Boys, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
Dwayne
a great
Eddie,
mix.
Yeah.
And they just,
Link
they,
Ray.
They just they blend together so well, and then with your personality and with your attitude on stage and your interaction with the audience, it's just great. It just melded together.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Now, Danny, you have some interesting mixes and mashups in your music.
Yeah.
Who are some of your influences growing up that might surprise some of the folks that see you play today with your cowboy hat and your boots?
Right. Well, being from Bullhead City, which is 90 miles south of Vegas and about 200 from L.A., our town was bombarded by both of those cities on a regular, you know, 8 months out of the year on the river. So I think that the first major musical influence on my own outside of my dad's, which was the Stones and Ritchie Valens and Buddy Holly.
The roots of rock and roll.
Right, right. I think the first major influence on my own was Mike Ness of Social Distortion and A Quiet Riot and Def Leppard. You know, I love those bands. But, you know, I think my Social Distortion really, really, it bleeds through who I am, for sure.
Now, you play some acoustic Social D in
yeah.
your sets, right?
Yeah, we do. Sky and I, you know, Sky and I, and people know what they're listening to. Mike Ness has always been a true blues, country, rockabilly player and songwriter. You know, if people know what they're listening to. So, yeah, we do Social Distortion. We do some Green Day. You know, I grew up on that 80s, 90s, early 1000s punk music. You know, well, I think it died after 95, so I don't know if I should say thousands, unfortunately. But, yeah, you know, and along with Hank, when I discovered Hank Jr., yeah, that was my world, Social Distortion and Hank Williams Jr.
Now, I love hearing both of you and Danny when you're singing it. I love hearing you do some Johnny Cash tunes. The other night when you guys were playing at Brick and Bone together, that was one that I asked you to play, and thank
right.
you for doing that.
Sure.
I love Johnny Cash. I love a lot of the old songs for the stories they tell. I mean, when we boil it all down, my background as a photographer and as a writer, I love capturing and telling stories through different forms. And really, you're talking about Social D and the Stones, and
right.
no matter what genre of right. music, when it all boils down to it, as a songwriter, you're telling stories.
Right.
The thing about Cash, everybody loves Cash. I mean, the punk rockers love Cash, the folk people love Cash, country people, the rockers, the
He was one
country,
of the first
obviously.
Punk rock singers in my
Ballads,
mind.
Gospel, everything.
I agree. Gospel, exactly, yeah. So there's not one person who doesn't dig Cash.
Right.
He kind of fits the mold for everybody.
Right. His rebellion, you know, and, you know, the songwriting aspect that you're talking about, you know, I think that definitely is the key. It doesn't matter what instrument you put to it. If it's a good song, it's a good song. So it doesn't matter the style or the tone in your guitars,
yeah.
Or the twang or the grovel in your voice. If the song is good, it's good.
Now,
no matter who's doing it.
Danny, you have a song that you often dedicate to your mother when you play.
Yeah.
Tell us the genesis. First of all, the name of the song and the genesis of how that came to be, how that story played out through your guitar and through your voice.
Okay. Well, yeah, my mother passed away in 2003. She had a brain aneurysm, so it was rather quick. You know, phone call in the middle of the night, you know, made it to Vegas, and she was, you know, they flew her out of Bullhead to Vegas, and then by the time I got there, it was pretty much over. So that was really rough, and, you know, I struggled with it for years, really bad for about 5 or 6 years, you know, and of course it's... life's a struggle, so I mean, not that my problems are any worse than anybody else's, but my point is out of that came a song, and the song was inspired by my mother, but also by my dear girlfriend, who I love so much, Mary Parra. She took a picture of me. You know, as you know, along with punching cattle, I've had a contracting business for a decade now. I'm an electrical contractor, and I was 16 feet up on one of my extension ladders hanging a light fixture from Mary's dad, and she took a picture of me, and she posted it to Facebook, and I saw it. I had jeans on, I had Levi's on, and you know, by looking at it, you couldn't tell that I was even an amputee. And I thought to myself, man, my mama raised an outlaw. And about literally, it was one of those songs, and I sometimes think that's how you know they're good. It wrote itself in about 5 minutes. Literally, it wrote itself in about 5 minutes, and the melody, I'm a very melodic person. I love melody. It's usually what attracts me to a song even more than the lyrics, ironically enough, that because I do write. The melody it's got to be catchy. Obviously, a song has to have a hook, but I have to, for me, a melody is the deal, and it came together, and it's probably one of my best songs that I love.
I hope you're going to get to play that song for the podcast today.
Sky, you're a songwriter as well.
Yes, sir.
You got to forgive me because I can't remember the name of the song, but you played it when you were with your band.
Okay.
Fast, slow. It was a poppy tune.
It's probably Rockabilly Heaven.
And you know, it had to do with meeting a girl in a bar.
Madeline.
I know what it is.
It's up with the Spanish.
Yes, it was a Miss Señorita.
Yes.
Oh man, that's a great
tell me
song.
About that tune.
All right. Well, when I write songs, you know, Danny's a great songwriter. Also, I think I'm as much of a fan as he is of songwriting as he is of me. Me too, maybe.
And forgive me, throughout this interview, my brain is not, it doesn't work on a good day, and let alone before 3 in the afternoon. So we're at the palace at 11 o'clock in the morning, so I might as well still be in my PJs. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, see, Danny's songs, when he writes a song, it's from his heart, it's from his life experiences, you know, and you can really hear that. It's such a deep, meaningful song. I've got a few songs like that, too, but most of my songs are just lighthearted, just to make people laugh and smile, but I like to entertain. You know, I think Elvis Presley is the greatest entertainer ever. So, and I try to make people smile and enjoy and have fun. Thank you, Danny. When I wrote Miss Señorita, by the way, that if you really translate Miss Señorita, it says Miss. So right away, the title shows you that it's not really serious.
I've missed with a few señoritas in my past.
Well, the song about a gringo.
Swinging a miss.
The song about a gringo. He doesn't really know how to speak Spanish. He doesn't have much money, but he really wants to. He meets this woman who's Mexican, and she doesn't speak English, and he's trying to pick up on her. Hey, Miss Señorita, so pleased to meet ya. This chili con queso robbed me of my last peso. If you don't mind me saying so, quiero uno beso.
Tonight.
So just, it's, you know, uno beso. Again, that's in Spanish, that's not correct. Yeah. Uno es un beso, and I had people tell me, like, you can't sing that song, it's grammatically incorrect. I said, exactly, that's the point.
That's the beauty.
He can't speak Spanish.
This guy came to me because I do speak Spanish. He said, Danny, is that offensive? I said, heck no, man. That's,
well, then you better work on it.
You know, it's doing what it's supposed to do.
If you ain't offending somebody, you ain't doing it right.
That's a good point. But the purpose of that song was just to make people smile. I don't want to offend. I mean, I've got some songs that might be offensive, but not that one.
No,
that was just lighthearted.
That. It's got a great hook, and it is just fun. Fun to listen to. So, talk about some more of your songs. Which ones come from the heart, and where do they come from?
It's about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I wrote a song called Pray. So I wrote it in about 3 minutes, literally. I just had my guitar, I was playing around with some chord changes, and I had a melody in my brain. I'm like, I had the melody, and I just started saying whatever was on my mind. And I knew I had to rhyme, so I came up with something else that was on my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wrote another song today, a song I'll never, ever play. I ripped it up and threw it away. Just pray. Oh, it said all I needed to say, just pray. Drank a little wine today, didn't take the pain. Didn't make the pain go away. Nothing matters anyway. Just pray. And I think that was just right from my heart. And I've got another verse to it, too, but I'm not going to... You have to come to this show to hear the third verse.
You know, it's got a real neat, like, John Mayer-ish touch. It's pure blood Americana. That's how I would describe it.
I agree.
It's pure Americana.
It's not country. It's not rockabilly. It's not rock. It's not... I don't know what it is, but I think you said it right. It's just Americana.
Sky.
Yeah.
It's pure Americana. Yeah, Sky.
Well, translating your life stories and your what's going through your gut into music, and I'm a firm believer that your whole life obviously makes you who you are today. Let's touch a little bit. You mentioned it, Danny, about the picture Mary took of you, and you couldn't. Your exact words elude me, but it was something to the effect of looking at it, I couldn't tell I was an amputee.
Yeah, right.
Touch on that, and again, this goes back to my saying earlier that you guys are both the real deal.
Right.
when too often cruising through Prescott and through the square here, Whiskey Row area, you see these guys in a pair of Levi's and a pair of boots and a hat that look like they just came off the shelf. They still got the tags on it. This is like a little costume these boys put on. That is not the case with Danny Romero. No. First, before we get into the accident and the illness you suffered, talk a little bit about your cowboy days. How did you start? This was something from the time you were this tall?
No, you know, I started punching cattle. When I came to Prescott, because Prescott really is a true cowboy capital of this state. There's a lot of surrounding ranches.
Home of the world's oldest rodeo.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's. I think it dates back to the fact that it was the territorial capital, and there was a train that came in here and brought goods to the merchants for commerce. And, you know, the surrounding communities would come into Prescott and stock up and go back out to their ranches.
This place that we're sitting in, the palace, was owned by Doc Holliday, wasn't it, or Whiter?
No, they both frequented it, yes.
Okay.
Doc had gambled in here. And Wyatt too, and Virgil Earp has a distinctive history in the entire town of Prescott.
And on the cinema end, for anybody that's familiar with Junior Bonner,
yes,
it was many scenes filmed right here.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. What I was going to say is the Prescott area is entirely a cowboy community, rich in ranching history. And so when I came here, I had met a buddy who ended up becoming my very best friend. He unfortunately passed away 4 years ago at 26 years old. He was born in the saddle. His family's been ranching in Chino since the 40s, and he cowboyed all over the state, and we did all the wagons on the Diamond A's and the Babbitts and the ROs, and because we still have three major ranches up here that take wagons out in the spring and the fall. You know, where they go out there and live in bedrolls and teepees and gather 10,000 head. You know, so it's a bit, we have three ranches in this state that still do that. So Bryce was a true cowboy in every sense of the word. He was a horseman. He was a cowman. He was a cowboy. I met and befriended him. We became best friends, and he started taking me to work with him. And I essentially learned how to ride a horse the same way I learned how to play guitar, working, doing it, out there, you know what I mean? So Bryce taught me everything I knew about punching cows, cattle, horses, and all that. So I got into that in about 2006 or 7, later in, in my life, in my early 30s, I think. Yeah, I think it was probably 29 or 30 when I got into that. Which is, in cowboy standards, it's long in the tooth. But anyway,
it's a young man's game.
Right. I cowboyed for a while, and, I also had a contracting business at the same time. So both those things kept me extremely busy. But, yeah, the cowboy thing, I didn't start cowboy until I came here. And, yes, everything that you see of Sky and I is real. It's absolutely real.
That's
nobody
right.
can poke a hole in
That's
anything
right.
that we do.
That's
I
right.
dare them to try, Matt. Come here. Try me. But, yes, the Mama Raised an Outlaw thing, that was inspired by a photo of me on a ladder, and I remember looking at it, and I thought to myself, if I wasn't an amputee, if nobody knew that I was an amputee, they would never know. And the reason I am an amputee is because I contracted necrotizing fasciitis through cattle working on the Sevens Ranch north of Seligman. And to nutshell, to save my life, after the diagnosis of a 10% chance to live and 10 days of a coma, I came through minus a leg above the knee, but I lived. In layman's terms, it's known as the flesh-eating bacteria. And that's exactly what it is. And I contracted it. We were processing a bunch of steers, working around livestock, with blood, urine, feces, all that stuff, all over the place.
And that was before they went to work.
Right. That's before you get it at McDonald's, Matt.
Right.
No, you just described that frat house, my buddy Boozer.
You know, it's there's up to 1,000 cases a year in the entire country, so it's extremely rare.
So what? How does that contract? Did you cut yourself?
It has to enter your bloodstream. For me, it can enter through a spider bite. It can even enter through weakened skin, a bruise. For me, I didn't even bleed. But I banged my knee on some square stock the chute was made of. It tore my Levi's, never even bled. 4 days later, I was in the ER trauma center in Flagstaff, and that was it.
What happened? You were telling me a little bit, and I was listening to you talk to those fellas at Brick and Bones the other night.
Oh,
you didn't know this?
No, I had no idea. Yeah, I did. I was trying to tough it out. You know, you're in the critical stages of it. After about 18 to 26 hours, I was almost 70 hours into this. I was trying to tough it out. I was working with cowpunchers old as my dad. Everybody hurts. You know, you don't complain.
Yeah, I banged my knee.
Right. And, you know, there was no visible injury. So but guys were like, what's wrong with you? You know, but I'll tell you what. By Saturday morning, I was infected Wednesday. By Saturday, that leg was purple and swollen to the size of my thigh. And I couldn't bear no weight on it anymore. The pain was absolutely excruciating. And I wasn't making sense anymore. My cow boss looked at me and said, you're dying. I'm calling a chopper.
Now, when you say you weren't making sense, what do you mean?
I just...
feverish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had... When I got to the trauma center... Or, I'm sorry. When I got to the urgent care in Williams, I had no blood pressure or pulse. Palpable blood pressure or pulse. And when I got to the ER in Flag, I was in septic shock, renal failure, complete renal failure, and no vitals to show, and they induced me into a coma. I woke up.
Hey, take us through. Then what'd they do? How did they take you from that point to what we're looking at you today?
Well, oh, God, there's so much to that.
What kind of time frame are we looking at?
Yeah, well, you know, it took me about 2 years before I could even stand up and play with my band.
Yeah.
And I'm in the third year of walking right now. I've been walking for 3 years last September. And so every day is a recovery. Every day is a challenge, of course, like everybody else.
Physically, what was the process?
Well... Once they amputated my, you know what, Matt?
Fine. Yeah, no, I understand.
I could take that. This is almost something that we could spend so much time on. If I could break it all down without touching too deep, I would say this. I was infected on a Wednesday. I banged my knee into some square stock, tore my Levi's open. Never bled, but the pain was absolutely excruciating. The next day, I couldn't even ride. I couldn't sit in a saddle. I had to leave a hold up. We were holding a bunch of cows up. I couldn't even sit in a saddle. That was Thursday. By Friday, Thursday night, my cow boss said, hey, just take a couple shots of whiskey, man, and take some aspirin. And so I did.
Yeah.
And, of course, I puked it up right away. That was I read later that was a telltale sign. I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
I threw the whiskey up right away. And then, of course, Friday I didn't work, and I just ate every piece of aspirin in that bunkhouse, and that didn't work. By Saturday morning, the condition was really worsening. My leg was turning very purple and swelling, and that's when my cow boss was like, man, there's something really wrong. I'm going to call a chopper. And I was like, no, let's just have your wife take me to Williams. There's got to be an urgent care.
Yeah.
So we got to Williams. They took my vitals, and the look on the guy's face taking my blood pressure was really odd. He left the room. It must have been every bit of their staff entered seconds later with an EMT and a medic and a gurney. They loaded me up onto the gurney, put me in the ambulance. This is Saturday morning, Mother's Day weekend of all weekends in the world, as close as I was to my mother. They took me up to Flag, to the trauma center in Flagstaff. I told the ER surgeon what I had been doing, that I was a cowboy. I banged my knee really hard, tore my Levi's.
And I kept asking him, can I sit, can, you know, I thought I was going to lose my leg anyway. And I kept asking him, hey, look, I can move my toes. I can move my ankles. Yeah. I can still feel down there, you know, because he's touching. Can you feel this, feel that? And I said, well, I'll get to keep it, won't I? You know, and he just told me he didn't know. And the next, when I woke up, when I after that, I woke up in a room, and it was so surreal. I can't even describe the feeling of waking up in a hospital room. I had no idea who was who, where I was. I was extremely hallucinogenic. They had to tie me down in the bed. I was trying to jump out of the bed. I was trying to jump out of a window. They had me on so much stuff. I was on morphine drip. I had a PICC line in my arm, a PICC line in my neck. I was on dialysis because I was in full renal failure, septic shock. My body swole about twice the size of it. All my skin peeled like a snake. I was in the hospital after all that for a total of about 3.5 weeks in Flag. They sent me down to a rehabilitation center in Phoenix. I was in there for 2 weeks. After about 2 months, my skin had healed enough on my amputated limb to where they could fit me for a socket. They subscribed me to, they subscripted me to 6 months of physical therapy. I was done in 5 weeks. And it's been a challenge ever since. But every day is recovery. Every day for me is me trying to do everything that I've ever did like everybody else.
How did this, I mean, obviously this is a life-altering, a life-changing event. How did it change your outlook on how you just approach every morning?
Well, I tell you, one of the first things that became apparent to me is that God has blessed me incredibly. God has blessed me incredibly. My friend here, Sky, he's one of my closest, best friends. And him and my buddy Rowdy and Mary and my family, these people never left my side, Matt. So first of all, what helps me start my day is the fact that I have God in my life. I have my incredible girlfriend, soon to be my wife, who loves me incredibly. Thank you. And my friends like Sky, that I can count on a hand, but I'm fortunate for that.
Yeah.
I have an incredible support system is my point.
Right. And love you, Danny.
Yeah, I love you too.
Sky, let's go to you here real quick. What...
I got a phone call.
What was going through your head?
I got the phone call on Saturday morning from my friend Neil, and said, "Are you sitting down?" And he told me about Danny. Neil and I went up to see him just that day. I took the day off of work, called my boss, said, "Hey, I'm going up. I got my a friend. It's an emergency. It's a crisis. I got to go see my friend." Of course, Danny was already in a coma. They already put him in a coma there, so he didn't know I was there, but his family was there. And a couple days later, I went to see him again while he was in his coma. And it was really tough for me to see Daddy because we didn't know if he'd be waking up. Yeah. So I went just after he was awake, I went to see him one more time. I don't even know if you knew that I went to see you because they wouldn't let me see you because you were hallucinating. You were not having a good day, they said. So they wouldn't let me see him. But when he was recovering in Scottsdale, I saw you maybe about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
So maybe like 2-3 times a week I'd come down to see Danny and was recovering, and we'd bring our guitars, we'd sing songs.
Yeah. All right. Now that, you know, what was that? What did that make you feel like, Danny, when you get a chance to do a little picking again?
Well,
or at least hear it.
You know, before we go there, speaking of the guitars, I was in the second stage of my recovery in the hospital. And it was right after they did my skin grafting, because I have a bunch of grafting on my limb. They had to take some skin from the other side, put it on my left side, because the bacteria ate a lot of my limb. You know, I was about 12 minutes away from losing my leg all the way up to my hip.
Wow.
12 to 15 minutes. They discovered that the bacteria was moving that rapidly and that I was declining, and that they told my dad, he can't fight it no more. The limb has to go. And obviously, there's no choice. So, you know, after what Sky just mentioned with my coma and all that, I was in the second stage where I was awake. And by this time, I had healed extremely rapidly. And by this time, I was up, I was coherent, and my nonny, my grandmother, she just turned 90. She remembers Sky so well because Sky brought his guitar up to the hospital and in Flag at this point still, and sang a song that he had written for me years ago.
That's right.
Called it's a beautiful waltz called God Ain't Through With You Yet. And he wrote that for me years before this accident, right. My wreck, even happened.
Right.
So that was a very special moment. I remember it very, very well. Him and Rowdy were very, they, of course, Mary, my girlfriend, but, you know, they never left my side. They were there from Step and Neely. There's several people.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I progressed, it took me a while before I played music again. It probably at least a year before I played in front of a crowd, you know. And being down in Scottsdale, I played some places in Old Town, and yeah. Sky and I started booking some shows in Fountain Hills. He would drive down. And
yep.
So you could be closer to where you were rehabbing.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. He would come down so we could play in Old Town Scottsdale.
If you don't mind me throwing this out, that was a really, really a cool thing for both of us, because all of a sudden I'm playing music with Danny again.
Yeah.
And part of the story that hasn't been told yet is that I wasn't playing with Danny during the time that he got in his accident for several years, maybe every once in a while, maybe like twice a year or something, I'd fill in for your guitar player, but I quit the band. But Danny's always been a great friend.
Yeah.
And so it was so great to play with music with Danny once again. And there was something about Danny that was different than before the accident. And I noticed that today, even still. He just has this attitude, this drive that's it's great to see.
Now, this was, you know, you were well known in this area, both you guys, for your music, specifically in the club scene, in the bar scene here, in Prescott and Chino Valley in the area. Your absence was noted.
Yes.
It was missed.
Right.
When you were finishing out your, well, I don't want to say finishing out, because your rehabs, this is a lifelong change. But when you were getting back in stride, it was newsworthy.
Yes.
The Daily Courier here, D Courier Online, if you want to check it out. PrescottAZ.com is where they're located. Ran a couple of stories on you getting wow, what a pun, getting back in the saddle.
Right.
But you had a welcome back show right here, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
Well,
it was generated by Sky. Sky put together the article. The first article was derived from an idea that Sky made a reality, an absolutely amazing reality, when he booked a show at the Elks Theater called The Legends of Texas. Two shows, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and he sold them out.
And it was for you. It was to raise money for Danny. Yeah.
Let's let Sky jump in here. How did this start? You're going to... Hey, Danny, no, apologize. We got no structure on this show at all. I don't. My ADD kicking in. Can you give me a cup of coffee?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
So, okay, so
go ahead, Sky.
Here's the thing. My friend Neil, who's the one who told me about Danny to begin with... he said, we should do something for Danny. And Neil said, I can't do it. I just have an idea. We should have a fundraiser. I'm so busy with my marriage and my kids and my job. But somebody needs to do this for Danny. And so I took it on. At the time, I was a music teacher at the charter school. And so I'm used to putting together programs. The charter school has a big event at the end of the year, school year. So I'm used to doing shows. And I got pretty good at it.
Black's fine. Go ahead. Sorry, Scott.
That's okay. So... I had this idea, because my friend Wolfer looks a lot like Willie. He acts like Willie. He sounds like Willie. My friend Nick Canuel, he's still around town. He's a Stevie Ray Vaughan, just perfect for Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Nice.
And both of these dudes are from Texas, right? And Neil's wife sounds just like Janis Joplin. Of course, most people know Janis Joplin as from California, but actually she was born and raised in Texas. So I'm thinking, I could do Buddy Holly from Abbott, Texas. So, or is it Lubbock? I can't remember if it's Lubbock or Abbott. Is there an Abbott?
I
know he was from Texas.
Thank you very much.
So I could do a pretty good Buddy Holly. And so I put together the show. It was a tribute show, and it was all to raise money for Danny. And, of course, I knew his friends would come and be very generous. I knew that. I mean, I could put on a terrible show, and his friends would still come. I wanted to put on an amazing show to bring people that would, like, I marketed it really well. I put it in the paper, like Danny was saying, the article in the paper. There was a big flyer. There's flyers everywhere, a big banner in front of the Elks Theater. I made it into a really, really special event. I mean, it wasn't amateur. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but the show was really nice. There's the curtains. There was no dead airtime. It was just boom, boom, boom. It was a show.
Yeah.
And so and it was a success. And at the end of the second show, you know, there's one in the day and there's one at night. Danny stood up. He was in the balcony seats. And he stood up, and he had his guitar, and he sang. We played some songs, just like the old days.
Yeah.
He was up there, and some of the people already left because the show was over. I said, "You can leave if you want, but Danny, it looks like Danny's going to sing with us." And so about half the people were still there. They wanted it. That's the guy.
Yeah.
They didn't even
that's
know Danny.
Why we're here. Yeah.
Well, some of the people didn't even know Danny, but yeah, that's the guy. That's the one we're raising money for. And he'd stand up. You know, he's on crutches and stuff, but he would stand up and he'd on his guitar and somebody brought him a microphone and we did some Arizona Territory stuff. So it was great. That was Danny's first welcome back. After the official welcome back. We did something, I think what you were referring to earlier is at the Palace, his big official coming out like with a full band, 4 hours of music, just like the olden days. I think that was Valentine's Day last year. It was 1 year ago. It was a welcome Danny back. He's back in business. I mean, where he stands on the stage for 4 hours. I mean, he was up to the point where nothing's going to hold him back.
Hey, we're running up on time. Hey, Danny's glam-handing up on the bar.
That's where Danny usually is.
Cruising around. What are you, signing autographs? Taking selfies?
I'm sorry.
Little Prescott celeb here. No, but we're running close. Like we said, we are at the historic Palace Saloon on Whiskey Row in Prescott, Arizona, right on the Courthouse Square. This is just an amazingly beautiful facility. We're running short on time here because, like they do each Tuesday here, from noon to two, is that correct?
Yes.
You guys
yes.
play and then now is that always a duo show?
Yeah.
From noon to two?
Yeah.
And then you guys also bounce back doing either duo or full band or solo shows.
That's right.
On Fridays as well, right?
That's right.
Hey, Uncle Bob. How's it going?
Come on over, Uncle Bob.
How are you?
Have a seat.
Well, thank you, sir.
Uncle Bob's joining us.
Bob,
introduce yourself.
Well, thank you so much.
Who is Uncle Bob?
Uncle
Bob and I'll share it here.
My name is Uncle Bob Anderson. I'm a native of Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
And I live here in this beautiful, lovely, historic town of Prescott, Arizona. And I'm glad to be here.
I'm not running away. I'm just grabbing my camera.
Oh, thank you, Carl. So, I've been a proud resident in this lovely city for 9 years now. And it's very, very nice to be here. I think it's something that there's a lot of incredible history, not only of the historic Palace Restaurant and Saloon. Incidentally, it was voted one of the most historic saloons in the entire nation by USA Today. What an incredible honor.
Absolutely. Now, when we post this up on iTunes and Stitcher and on Facebook and all that good stuff, you guys are going to see a picture of Uncle Bob, but Uncle Bob, describe what you're wearing right now.
Well, actually, Matt, I'm wearing some period correct clothing from different eras, actually. The hat could go back to the 1830s or 1840s. It's a slouch hat with a pencil curl brim, telescope crown with a crushed dome top.
What era is the Coors bottle?
that is circa 1930s, man.
Well, Uncle Bob, we're sitting here talking about Arizona Territory, of course, and we were just discussing a little bit, you know, the deal that Sky so graciously put together, which was absolutely incredible, Matt. When I walked into that Elks Theater that day, I saw all my friends on that stage playing music. They had seating waiting for me right there next to the stage, the little box seating. I probably sobbed for the first 10 minutes of that. I was completely struck.
I remember that day very well.
Yeah, oddly enough, when I sing, most people sob as well. But I think it's for a whole nother reason. True story, I once lived in a duplex that the walls were so thin that when I sang in the shower, the neighbors knocked on my door and told me to cut it out. And I'm not joking. Sky's given up his mind. Well, let's just share. We could have plugged in here.
Yeah.
We have
here.
Literally, I have no structure on this show. This is our debut show of the Mile High Show. So yep. I'm learning as I go.
Let's.
For all I know, it's not even recording. But we might have to redo this tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
No, but I know we're running short on time because what Danny and Sky are really here to do, I'm just piggybacking, and I'm thanking you guys for making time for me. But you guys are set to play. We're running up on, or we just passed the 12 noon hour, and they need to set up because they're going to play here like they typically do. I'm going to sit and watch them because I enjoy listening to them, but I'm also going to let the recorder run a little bit. We're going to record a couple of songs, and maybe if we're lucky and if they're willing to do so between sets, and
of course,
and we'll get a chance to dialogue with them a little bit.
But you had a question for us, and we never got to answer it. You were asking. You were asking about.
I don't listen to me. Why should you?
You sound like me.
That's outstanding.
Well, his question was: we have Arizona territory. We have the things that we do. We something about how often we play in different ways, I think.
I don't know. Tell me what you're thinking.
Sky and I have the Arizona Territory Band, which still plays. We play quite a bit with that also. We have some really cool shows coming up. I don't really want to get too deep with some of the ones in the spring, which are going to be one of the biggest deals we've ever done in front of the biggest crowd we've ever played for. Matt, you...
Yeah. Now, just to let you folks know, milehighshow.com and on our Facebook, we're going to be plugging all the artists and authors, musicians, everybody that we get a chance to interview. So check back, and we'll have links to Sky and Danny's and Arizona Territories to their upcoming shows and all that. So no need to worry about writing them down. Check back milehighshow.com. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, but the acoustic music suits Sky and I so very well. I mean, of course, we love to plug his Les Paul in and tear it down. You know, get the drums and the bass and the boys. But a lot of times we play acoustic. And it really lends itself to our very creative side. See, with the band, we have to play what's on the radio. And unfortunately, the radio isn't really that friendly as much as it likes to think that it is.
It ain't country, huh?
No, it's definitely. The radio isn't friendly. But anyway, with our band, we have to play stuff that people are familiar with so they can dance. Particularly with our duo. Our duo is fun, it's fast, it's rebellious, it's extremely original, it's extremely us. And Matt, you said something earlier, and you couldn't be any further from the truth. What you see is exactly what you get from us. You know, people, I can see them looking at him and I sometimes, especially when we're not in Prescott. Down in the, we play the Valley a lot. It's obvious I punch cattle. It's obvious I'm not. I just didn't pull my stuff out of a closet and throw it on for a show. And it's obvious that Sky is extremely true-blooded Americana rockabilly. You know, and looking at us, we look like an odd couple. But that is what makes us absolutely special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I agree.
What really makes it. Great.
Hey Bob, we're gonna pretend these guys aren't here, so don't worry about insulting them.
It's obviously,
and who knows,
I hear you, buddy.
In just a second, Danny's probably gonna sneak off and go grab another shot of bourbon.
Tell us,
nobody's listening to this anyway.
All right.
Tell us what you really think about these guys.
Oh boy, I don't know where to start. This is something else. When I first met Danny, he was one wild hare, I'll tell you that. It was something else, but he still is. And I don't know. He's This is a no kidding aside. He's a very dear friend of mine. He's like my little baby brother. And Sky is the same way. I haven't known Sky as long as I have, Danny. But I really enjoy both of them. Their wonderful music. Their careers that I hope will just keep going forward and forward. And I can't say enough about it.
Well, thank you, Uncle Bob.
Like he owes you guys money. What's going on? It's all right.
Thank you, Bob.
Are we running on? Are we running tight on town? Time? Well, thank you, Bob. Well, we want to hear you play.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like a great idea, man.
I'd like to make sure we play some of the songs that we talked about over here. The Mama Raising Outlaw, Miss Senorita, maybe even the song I wrote for you.
You know, we're doing our Waylon and Willie show, which
that's gonna be a good one.
Before we click this off and start listening to you guys play, let us know what's the best way to reach out to you guys, what you want to get public out there, any numbers, emails, Facebook, whatever you got. Tell us where to reach out, because you guys do play. You don't only play the bars, you do private gigs.
Yes, that's right.
You do corporate stuff.
Right,
we do
right.
Western festivals.
How do we reach you?
Parades, charity events. Yes. Old folks' homes, we play it all. And, you know, that's what the beauty of the acoustic.
Oh, I thought you said you were coming to my house to play. No?
Well, it's your birthday tonight.
The old folks' home.
Oh,
well,
listen to this.
Well, I don't know. I guess the best way to get a hold of us would be you can email me. You can go to my webpage, which is Danny Romero, RomeroMusic.com. That's Danny Romero, R-O-M-E-R-O, music.com. Also, you can catch me through my email address, which is D Luis Romero Jr., which is DLUISROMEROJR at Yahoo. Or you can call me at 928-925-4395.
How about Sky? Where can we get you?
Well, I have a website, and there's a little a button you can click for contact me. And so my website is skydaddy.net. Not .com, .net. One word, skydaddy.net. Thank you.
Good job.
You know what? I want to mention, too, that you know we're very friendly, personable people. If you just want to come meet us Tuesday at the Palace, we're always here, noon to 2. That's a great way just to introduce yourself to us, and then we'll talk business.
To dance with you all night.
Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you listening to the Mile High Show. We hope you come back and join us again. All our information, including upcoming shows, is listed on milehighshow.com. We're also on all the social media outlets. Links are right there on our website. Again, this is the Mile High Show, your host, Matt Santos, and thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, there's a song I wrote about my mama. She's been done 11 years now, I guess, 2003. March 23rd, 2003. So I guess we're going on 12 years. She was 49 years old. She was the coolest son of a buck I ever knew. She was cool, man. Loved everybody, and everybody loved her. Always smiling. Man, she was... What a treasure we had for a little while here on Earth. This goes out to her. Mama raised an animal. God bless you, Mama. And...